I would say it's good to see you all, but we don't get to see you today. That's one of the real drawbacks of this particular format, is that we don't get the in-person experience of seeing each other's beautiful faces and smiles and getting to listen to you sing as lovely as this recording of music was. We miss out on some of that, miss Tommy's joyous face as he leads, and miss the crying babies, and there's just a lot of changes. That's a changes for you as you're watching at home. It's changes for those of us who are trying to organize and orchestrate. It's change for me as a minister. I was part of a group of ministers that shared this week that just like that, all of us became televangelists. So it is. It's been a big change. It's been a big change for all of us. I will tell you that as we're going through this change, it is more important than ever that we have the ability to communicate with you and to hear from you. I would strongly encourage you, if you have not already done so, as a means of staying in touch with the church, get your name and information in the Instant Church Directory app. If you have not downloaded that app, it is free on the iTunes Store. It is free from the Google Play Store, Instant Church Directory, and you will be added. You can have information on cell phone numbers and email addresses so that you can contact others, then they can contact you. I would encourage you to use the Remind app. Even if you don't download the app, if you will get us your cell phone number, we can enter it in. Then when we send out text messages to everyone to let them know what's going on, what we need to pray for, what we need to do, we can do that. If you would like to receive our church email, our church bulletin, if we have your email address, we send out a bulletin every week and can send out updates as necessary through that as well. So if we have your email address, we can do that. If you don't want to do any of that and you just want to check on the church Facebook page, you can go to our Facebook page and find updates and information there as well. But it is more important now than ever that we be able to communicate with you in some manner. Via the phone or digitally, we want to get information to you and receive information from you. So what is our word for the day? And I thought about it as I was going through this week. I changed my sermon at least two or three times, really more than that, but had two or three sermons that I was working on at the same time, but finally came up with this word I wanted to share with you. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. Be humble under God's powerful hand, so He will lift you up when the right time comes. Give all your worries to Him, because He cares about you. Control yourselves and be careful. The devil, your enemy, he goes around like a roaring lion looking for someone to eat. Refuse to give in to him by standing strong in your faith. You know that your Christian family all over the world is having the same kind of suffering. You know, it's interesting that the Bible doesn't use the word worry. That's a word that we use pretty often in our language, and it's really difficult to go from Hebrew or Greek, either one, to move that thought into English. So instead, a lot of times what you'll find when you're reading through Scripture is careful or cares, cast your cares upon the Lord, right? In the New Testament, they use this Greek word, which is merinma, which means to be anxious about. That's literally what the word cares or worries or concerns, to be anxious about. There is a time and a place for genuine and real concern. And some would say, some would argue, that we are in just such a place and just such a time today. But as Christians, we still should not let anxiety take over us. We used to use this the word worry in the old uses of English. We used it a little differently. It gave us a kind of a different definition or maybe a better understanding of what the word worry was about. We talked about how a dog would worry a bone, or worry his prey, or we talked about my grandmother used to tell me not to worry over the bug bites on my arms or a sore on your leg, right? You mean just leave it alone. You're wearing it out. It means stop messing with it, right? Quit worrying means stop messing with it. So when we worry, we just keep bringing it up and bringing it back up and bringing it back up. Something that we think needs our attention that really we ought to leave alone. It is perfectly permissible. And I'm just going to give you permission here today to be concerned about the fact that you might not have enough money to pay the bills, or that your family is struggling to get along in close quarters, or that we're facing a viral pandemic for which we don't see the immediate end, right? But it is a problem when it turns into, when thinking about the solution becomes consuming for you. When thinking about that, it starts to consume your time and consume your energy, and when it dominates the thoughts of your daily lives, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? For most of human history and for most of the world still today, people have faced a great deal of worries that you and I, we've likely never had to worry about, most of us anyway. Worries about like getting enough food for today and maybe having a safe place to lay their heads at night. Those are the worries that have dominated the history of human beings. And it was to a crowd of people just like that Jesus was speaking in his Sermon on the Mount. And this is what Jesus said to those people. This is from his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "So I tell you, don't worry about the food you need, or for food or drink you need to live, or the clothes you need for your body. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Look at the birds in the air. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And you know that you're worth much more than the birds. You cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it. And why do you worry about clothes? Look at how the lilies of the field grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves. But I tell you that even Solomon with his riches was not dressed as beautifully as one of these flowers. God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire. So you can be even more sure that God will clothe you. Don't have so little faith. Don't worry and say, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? The people who don't know God keep trying to get these things. And your Father in heaven knows that you need them. So seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. Then all of your other needs will be met as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. Each day has enough trouble of its own." There are just a multitude of things that can consume us if we let them. Worry about our health, worry about our finances or the state of the stock market, fear of accidents or severe weather, even a world, an entire world that right now for some of us feels like it's really just spinning out of control. And that, to me at least, is at the core of this whole thing, that this is the key phrase for me, that I worry best, and maybe we worry best, when things feel out of our control. But for us as Christians, we can read through the story of Scripture. I mean, over and over in the pages of Scripture. And we can look at our own stories when we go through our lives, that even when things are beyond our control, that doesn't mean that they are beyond the control of God. Remember when the Israelites were enslaved in ancient Egypt? And the plagues started to descend when Moses showed up, right? And it's helpful for us to remember that the Israelites suffered through those plagues too. Their homes were barraged by hailstorms. The gnats and the flies, they swarmed in their faces too. The locusts ate their food. The frogs climbed in their beds. And for some of you, that might have been the worst of the lot. But they too lived under the blanket of darkness that covered the land. Now, you know, years later, and even for them years later, looking back, we can see, just as they were able to see, that God was working through all of that to bring about their salvation. It may have been difficult in the moment, but looking back, we can see, oh yes, God was at work in all of that. So we have to ask for us, is God at work in what's going on today? I mean, could God be in the midst of a global pandemic? Well, this interesting passage from the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 3. His glory, speaking about God, His glory covered the heavens and His praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from His hand where His power was hidden. This sounds like the God we know. This sounds like the God of might and power. And this is the God we look to, right? But He continues on. He says, plague went before Him. Pestilence followed in His steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled. The age-old hills collapsed. But He marches on forever. According to Habakkuk, Yahweh God is the God of the plague. It goes before Him and it follows after Him. In other words, He, even in the worst situation we can imagine, which seems to be what's being described here, that our God is right in the middle of it. And as we look around us and see the effects of this latest epidemic, that's not an easy thing, at least it's not an easy thing for me to say, that God is in the middle of all this, right? Why do people get it? Is it because they're evil, or because they've done something to upset God in some way? Is this God's judgment raining down on the world? And some have argued that case. But maybe it's simply because we live in a fallen and broken world. And even as God's people, He never exempted us from suffering in this world. As limited and mortal human beings, everyone knows, and I think we would all acknowledge that we aren't perfect, right? We're not morally perfect. We do and say things that are morally questionable. We're not physically perfect. We're not psychologically perfect, which you are probably discovering about your families as we speak. We're not perfect in our ideas. We're not perfect in our thoughts. And we are not perfect in our immune system. Some point to passages like this from Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. What a great and powerful words of encouragement about trusting in God. But does this mean that I can have faith I won't get a virus if I'm a baptized believer? Can we be certain that we're safe as long as we pray? If so, then we'd have to conclude that Christians can't really fall sick to any disease or plague, or that God's people will never get injured, never suffer, never die. So instead of this suffering-free theology, which seems to be the opposite of the message of the New Testament, what if we think about it this way? That when we are living in right relationship with God, we can know that the Lord's will is being done with us. When we live in right relationship with God, we can know that whatever happens, it is God's will. No matter what's happening around us, no matter what's happening to us, we can rest assured knowing that we are following and experiencing the will of God. If it's something we love, it's the will of God. If it's something we hate, it's the will of God. That we can know, that we can rest in that knowledge. that our God loves us and He is giving us the best, even when we don't understand it, even when we can't see it, that He is still working out His will in and through us in our lives. So this morning, I just want to conclude our time together with a prayer. And then, are you going to come back? Then we'll have an invitation song. You'll have to drive fast to get here, but we'll wait. We'll have a song after this, but I wanted to close at least my time up here with us with a prayer. Our Father, it is indeed at times like this that we realize what a blessing it is to call You that, to have You as our Father. And God, You know the state of our affairs, both those in the world around us and those that are going on inside our hearts. And while we don't know what tomorrow brings, we don't even know what today may hold, give us the peace and assurance that comes from knowing that You do. That even in the midst of life's greatest storms, You live and move and walk and work to lead us ultimately to salvation. So, Father, we trust You. We lean on You for strength. We cast our cares upon You. Father, take our worries, take our fears, take our hearts and make them new. In the name of Your Son and our Savior, the One who lived in our world and who walked in our shoes and who knows better than anyone else what we're going through. In Jesus' name, amen.